It's the Puppet Parent Podcast. In this episode, we'll talk about showing off new puppets, special puppet showplace theater memories, traveling international with little kids, and morality tales in children's books. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Bam! Ladies and gentlemen, take two. We are the Puppet Parent Podcast. Look at those beautiful waveforms.
Beautiful.
That's right. Not as beautiful as you.
Oh, look what he did there. My name is Z.
My name is Chad.
And we are puppeteers and parents, and we have a podcast. And we're so glad that you're here with us today. Yeah. And for those of you watching live, like our Uncle Tom. Hi, Uncle Tom. We're so happy that you're here. And please be sure to say hello in the chat.
And you can check us out live every single Sunday, currently at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time over on YouTube at youtube.com/NYC Puppets or on Facebook. That's right, social media at facebook.com/WonderSparkPuppets.
It's another Sunday.
Yes, it is. Are the Bills playing this week? No, they're not.
No.
It's a bye. They get a week off.
It feels strange.
Lick their wounds after their last-minute defeat last time.
That was so sad. They were so close to winning.
That's true.
They had it. Then they didn't have it.
Yep. But just like I used to tell plenty of kids playing youth league soccer, it's not the final moments that that made you lose. It's not that one ref call or that one little like point at the very end. Nope, it was the entire game, and you play the entire game, no matter what sport you're playing. No, it's because like every single move counts, every play counts, every point counts, and it all builds up, right? So a lot of times in sports, because I used to play sports, people are like, oh man, screwed at the very last second. Oh man, that one final play at the very end of the game is why we lost. Nah, it was the whole game, really. You just don't see it. It adds up in suspicious ways. Mm. Anyway, Z, guess what? We have a brand new show.
Yay!
We've been talking about this show, but this week on the podcast, if you're watching this video, I recommend you do this, episode 32. I want to show off the puppets that you and I have been making.
Oh,
is that
okay.
Cool?
Yes, yeah.
Is there other pressing things you want to talk about this week also before we get to the unveiling?
No, nothing pressing. We could start with puppets.
Yeah. This is a miniature colander that fits. It's like a baby. You put it on an infant's head.
It's so teeny.
Yeah.
It's so very wee.
Yes, it is.
Wee little colander.
Can you talk about? So I'm going to hand you. Oh, it's sticky to there. I'm going to hand you this puppet. Can you talk mm-hmm. about this puppet and the design choices that you made in terms of the materials and like, look at this beautiful puppet. Let's talk so that the listeners at home.
Sorry, I'm just looking into the screen. Oh, it's a podcast. Okay. Right, you need to be able to hear me.
What are we looking at?
Well, this is a needle felted puppet. Mm-hmm. So that means that I took a wool dryer ball, hollowed it out, added a neck, built on top of that, and created this face and head. And it's a method called needle felting. But I don't work just exclusively in wool, but her hair also happens to be wool as well. They're these like thick yarn wool pieces.
It kind of looks like dreadlocks.
A little, yeah.
I think the hippie hat,
yeah,
that, like adds to the dreadlocks effect.
And she's got this cute little nose. It makes her look a little more cartoonish. I was going off of a drawing that Chad had done for what he was going for. And while I never hit it quite on the mark, Chad says, of what exactly he was thinking, I interpret it and, you know, make it into what I saw. And this is what I saw when I saw that drawing.
Yeah.
The round glasses were a part of the drawing. I was able to find glasses that fit her. And the expression, he wanted like a neutral expression, not too happy, not too upset. So this is the neutral, slightly nervous expression that she has. Here, I'll hold her up closer so you can really see her. And she has this little cute winter hat on and little cute sweater and
Where'd you get all jean. The all those clothes?
Well, so I'm not a great costumer, but I'm good at shopping. And and
put that on your CV.
There's a whole market for American Girl doll clothing on Etsy and also on private websites as well. And so I just shop around for what the kind of thing that I'm looking for. And then there is some alteration that has to happen when the clothes come in, but not much. The hat fit her perfectly. The sweater, the sleeves are always too long. So you always have to fold up the sleeves somehow or alter the sleeve length. And then there's a little bit in the back that I took in, but not much. And it looks like she's always had this sweater.
Right.
So it's like a very
knit that.
It's a very comfortable puppet. The way that we perform our puppets are two fingers in the head, your pointer finger and your tall man or ring finger, your middle finger.
Definitely not a ring finger.
I'm wearing a ring on it, I guess. Sorry. Your middle finger and your pointer finger are what go in the head, and then two fingers in the arm and your thumb in the other arm. So like that. It's hard for me to show it like that, but anyway, but so this is our new, handmade puppet, that's the lead character of the show. And then next Sunday we will have the premiere of our other lead character who will be in the show as well, that I'm in the process of making right now with the same technique. It's the mother of this character.
Everybody's, you know, I have said in a show that every solo show is really like therapy. Boom.
Now she has a calendar on her head.
That's right. So the character is, I think it looks great without the calendar, like the base character, but she goes on a mission.
But check this out, you guys.
Monster territory.
Are you ready?
Dun, dun.
Magic.
So if you're listening, the puppet can just smack her head onto the colander, which is made out of metal, and it sticks to it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I do this under, like nicely, gently under the playboard, so I can put it where I want it.
Oh, you're not going to do it on the playboard like I just did?
No, because
what a bummer. I made it so that you could.
I know, but experience has taught me that if you do anything on the playboard, it has to be secured. Because there's a chance that whatever you have on the playboard could go, could get knocked off. If it's towards you, great. If it's into the audience, bad
news.
Well,
then I need to show off one more time.
Let's see it. Let's see
you're not going to do it in the show.
No, I'm going to do that behind the scenes, though. Because, look. See how that looks? Yeah, and I can't see what the audience sees. So if I'm looking at it from the back, it's a little like off kilter.
Oh, a little. But I think it looks great.
Yeah, anyway. I'm going to make sure that when it comes up with the calendar, that it's good. Yeah, so she's the apprentice of a silversmith. This show may take place in the Middle Ages or something. Not exactly. It's like, it could, right? We have genes, so who knows?
Anyway.
But yeah, so that's the gimmick. And the ghost squirrel, whose name is, I think, Hakam or something. Mm-hmm. Whatever wisdom is in Hebrew. Ghost squirrel, the spirit squirrel, comes out of the metal colander and gives her good advice.
So that is our new lead character for our new show. We use these produce reusable bags to store our puppets in. And whenever I take off a puppet, I always tell people, you fold the arms like this, and then you fold the head down. And then you fold the body over the head. And the reason that you always want to do that is you always want to protect the face above anything else of the puppet, because you don't want to get anything on the face. Because once something's on the face, it's like always there. It's really hard to get it off, and it will always be distracting. And then we put them in these produce bags that have this little, cinch at the top. And that's how they stay safe, but aerated too. You know, you don't want to put them in plastic because then they can't really air out. If they are, wet
sweaty.
Or moist inside, yes.
Super sweaty. Yes.
So So this is our method that we've come to after many years.
What do you think? This is what she's going to be using to clean the things. This is a little bit of business. I got this this disgusting looking loofah at the dollar store.
Was it gray like that, or did you spray paint? Oh, it looks
like, no. It looks like spoiled ham.
I thought you did that.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I was like, what's the nastiest? Oh, perfect. It looks like somebody's been using this to clean metal, and that's exactly what they are going to be doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit of business.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
My goal is to never mention the gender of this character, although I basically wrote it to be like gender neutral, but every time I wrote the character's name down, I wrote it down as like all right, clearly this is like a feminine name.
I read a Jeanette Winterson book like that once that was like never actually mentioned the character's gender, but yes. Oh my god, it's totally but it's clear. A girl. It's clear. Come on.
But you know, if it's somebody that's really feminine and somebody is like, yo, that is me, and they happen to be a boy, then all right. That's where I'm channeling. All right. Mm-hmm. Can you put this one on? This is one that I made. You can tell the difference in quality. But I feel pretty proud. I'm not gonna downplay anymore and tell people that I'm not a puppet builder, because look, I made this puppet. Yeah, this is the titular. That means the character that is in the title of the story, the titular troll of what? Yeah. You ever heard the word titular?
I have, but
that's what it means. It's not titillating, it's titular. Those are different
words. Well, I understand, but it's still...
It's nerdy. It's a nerdy librarian word. Okay. Titular. This is the troll. Yeah. And the puppets that I like to make are big and roomy. And I accidentally, when making this one, forgot to resize the toilet paper tube. And that's why your fingers are sort of swimming
inside there. Oh, I thought maybe this is the size you liked.
No.
Oh.
No, but when I was done, I was like, when I was finished with the head, I was like, oh, I forgot to resize the toilet paper tube. And then I was like, eh, it works. Better than having it be too tight, because my fingers get pretty plump when I'm working up a sweat performing. And if it's too tight, it's bad news.
So this is a troll that Chad made. Mm-hmm. Version one.
Version
troll.
One, that's right. You can see stitches, and if you get too close to this puppet, you're going to, you know, see all the things that I kind of skipped. This is literally, the face is literally made out of cardboard that I just glued fabric onto to kind of, like, sculpt the front, but it does not look like the designs. Unlike Z, who did a beautiful job interpreting the designs that I made for the other character, this did not look anything like the post-it note that I made for this character. This is just what happened, and that was my plan, because I knew you only had so much time to devote to making characters, so you got to do the human characters, because everybody knows what a human looks like, but I get to do the monsters in the story, because the monsters could look like anything, really. So when I did this, I was like, it's perfect, because it could look like anything. Yeah.
So it's a blue furry troll monster, for those of you who are listening and can't see it.
Oh, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a long snout that is literally a toilet paper tube that I covered. This whole thing is actually, it's just one pillow that I got at Walmart for $15, which came with so much filling, so much polyfoam. It's insane.
Polyfill.
Thank you.
Yeah, fiber fill.
So I went to the Walmart near us has two short aisles of fabric stuff, but the fabric cutter is never there, right? And I don't want to track somebody down. I get kind of nervous about that, you know, like, so instead I'm just looking for something I can grab. And I found what I needed in the pillow aisle, because there's a whole aisle of just pillows.
I was pillow.
Yeah, which is great, for fur, because it's cheap. It's cheaper to get this, and in small quantities for a hand puppet,
sometimes,
mm-hmm. than actually buying like a whole yard of expensive. I mean, we spent, here, turn back this way again. I got to pick something out here. We spent like $150 on a yard of fur for the lion puppet in our Fox Fables show. It was insane, but it looks so good. This is kind of like in the middle ground. What?
All right. Can we say goodbye to this troll?
Yes. Yeah. Goodbye. And we'll quickly
and again,
show you.
As we put puppets away, Mm-hmm. Arm. So you fold the arms in front, yes. bring the head down, and then it's like protected. The head yeah. is, the face is protected. And again, we use these vegetable produce bags.
Right. Wait. But
what?
But this particular one, the ears are kind of sensitive. So just be aware of the ears.
Okay.
Because the way I made it, it's just a piece of cardboard that's okay. covered. And if the ears bend, because there's nothing inside there, it's just cardboard, mm-hmm. they're going to stay bent.
Okay.
So thank you. Mm-hmm. So speaking of the dollar store, I went to the dollar store to look for inspiration.
Dollar
for
Tree.
The Dollar
Specifically,
Tree.
Specifically.
Oh, thank you. Chain. Shout out to Dollar Tree. To look for something to build a puppet out of. And I saw this and I was like, oh yeah, and I got an idea for a character. So it's kind of like a mop. What would you call this?
A mop.
This is a mop.
It looks like a mop.
But
was it a duster?
I don't know what it is, but it's like fabric beads, if that makes any sense. It's like a, I don't know what, but it's like a mop. So, but I was like, but this could be hair. This reminds me of hair, right? Mm-hmm.
The classic mop hair.
Yeah, like a mop top, mm-hmm. right? So I was like, this character, if this is my arm's a playboard, this character can come out one way, because you always have to build some gimmicks into your puppets. That's how I feel. So this character is going to come out one way, like you see the mop head, and you're like, what is that? And then there's a reveal. And so I wanted to have like a surprisey face underneath it, so when it goes from mop top to wah, and I was like, all right, and that's the whole character. This character likes to surprise people, just like our kids, who all the time hide, like will run ahead of us and hide, and then jump out, and they don't say boo, they say boo-ah.
Boo-ah. That's what they've been saying lately. Boo-ah.
Boo-ah. So there you go, kids. You've directly inspired your parents. And inside this puppet, which is actually just made up, this is actually a tissue box. Mm-hmm. Once again, just tissue box that I cut.
This is what we had.
I hot glued felt on top of, and the face is just all felt. Look at that. It's got like a little Alterna Girl flip happening. Shout out to Puppet Master Jake. And inside, this is just so much fun to do. You know? I'm just flipping this back and forth. That's right. Like Willow Smith. Whoop-boo! And inside, I'm just grabbing the inside of the mop is actually just inside. And it's like a plastic bit with room to screw in a broom handle. Mm-hmm. So I'm just holding that.
Yeah. So those are our puppets so far, right?
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Oh, there's another thing.
That's right. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of almost like...
I haven't seen this one yet.
You ready? Well...
No, I don't know that I'm ready.
King on the eyeballs.
Oh, it doesn't have
That's
eyes?
That's right. No, it has.
Oh,
it has
there they
eyes!
Are!
This puppet's... But I think it needs eyebrows. What do you think?
Yeah, or lids. Yeah. Maybe a little
Something.
Bit of a lid.
It's kind of
it's
like...
It's very awake.
Yes, and that's not the character. No, I have a picture of
it's a wolf for those
for
of
eyebrows.
You listening. It's a wolf.
It's a wolf, but it's a wolf that it's not a hand puppet. It's like a moving mouth puppet.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like the Big Bad Wolf. He needs to open his mouth and blow people down. Ready? Yes, and I had to make it from scratch, and I had to look like a wolf, and it was so hard because I actually had to make it. Look like something.
Uh-huh. I like you did some really nice things with it, Chad. Man,
thanks.
Yeah.
There's a styrofoam ball in the head
for
to
the
make
brain.
A brain.
Yep.
There the nose, there's like a plastic ball, like mm-hmm. one of our kids' toys is in there.
Sorry.
I did cardboard for the mouth and mm-hmm. I copied this open mouth design from somebody who had like some Pinterest somewhere. I saw this mm-hmm. and I was like, perfect. It looks a little scary, but not too scary.
Mm-hmm. Definitely teeth. Yep.
Your teeth all the way.
Here are the rest of them. Wow. So this is happening. When are you?
It's happening.
When is there a premiere, or is it private bookings only, or how is this going?
We have private bookings at the moment. I think because it's the world premiere this year. That when we started to get like a bunch of private bookings. That kind of made it impossible to do like a free public show
mm-hmm.
because you can't be charging a bunch of people like to perform it for them in private, but then also just give it away.
Mm-hmm.
So and we were always very careful about that, to never do our missing birthday show when we were performing all of our shows for free over the spring and summer.
Mm-hmm.
We only did that show once publicly for the Puppet Show Place Theater, who specifically requested it as a way to celebrate all the kids who missed regular birthdays over the summer. So we were like, absolutely.
Yeah, it was sweet.
Yeah.
Getting to do that. Speaking of Puppet Show Place, if any of you have ever heard of Puppet Show Place or just want to support amazing puppetry, they're going through a little bit of a rough time right now. And if you have another extra couple dollars and you could send it to Puppet Show Place, they're doing a specific campaign of $37 donations because of Roxy Myram and her prime year of 37. And yes.
So... Yes, that happened. And now, because that campaign was pretty successful, the Puppet Show Place itself is doing a campaign. I think Honey told me a couple of days ago that it's like 47 or something.
Oh, now it's 47 because of the years that the Puppet Show Place have been open?
Exactly.
Okay, so it's one of the longest running, most established puppet theaters, like formal puppet theaters in the country, and they bring in touring puppeteers throughout the year. Every single week there's a different show happening there, and it's in the Boston area in Brookline, if you know Boston. And oh, it's just so great. And so all the puppeteers have been pulling together to try to support the theater that we love so much. So if you want to support Puppet Show Place Theater, we would really appreciate that because we love that theater and we want to make sure it sticks around too.
We have a very special relationship with that theater. Your first puppet show,
the very first time I ever performed as a professional puppeteer was at Puppet Show Place Theater, and I just have a lot of memories there, and it's like in a lot of ways it's a puppet home for me. So it's very comfortable and I love it there, and I just, it's got to stay. Like, you can't go anywhere. We can't let, you know, some crazy pandemic and, you know, other silliness take Puppet Show Place from us. No way. I'm not going to let it happen.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't either. And if you have, you know, just even a couple dollars to send their way, it makes a big difference right now. So thank you.
Yeah, one of my favorite, we have many, many stories of performing at the Puppet Show Place Theater. I think one of my favorite ones was when we first had our first baby, right? 7 years ago, just about. He was 3 months old, and at that stage, he slept a lot, right? He'd wake up, feed, go back to sleep. So it was possible because we were now adapting, or we were performing. I was performing solo shows. It was possible for you to have our now oldest kid in the theater watching shows, or just having him passed out. They were doing like puppet playtime, I think, at the time. Mm-hmm. So they had these like ladybug pillows, big ladybug pillows, and he was just asleep during some of those because. When you're a touring puppeteer or puppet act and you go up there, you do close to like 5 to 7 shows for a weekend. So you go up there and do like one show Thursday, one show Friday, 2 shows Saturday, 2 shows Sunday.
And that may be a birthday party too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if it's on like a popular weekend, I mean, that can be, you know, like you can make some cheddar, which is always amazing for like for the theater, for you.
Yeah.
And... We had the support of the artistic director who has babysat our kids while we've gone up there like during shows and stuff to make it happen. And so I think that was we always tell people would say like, oh, you're puppeteers, wow, you're so jealous of your kids, you know, they're gonna be growing up as like puppet people and they're gonna go see so much theater. And we're like, yeah, their first show was at 3 months old. Sitting in the back of the Puppet Show Place Theater.
There might have been a show even before that, honestly. I mean, if you count like Jane Henson's Memorial as a show in a sense too, you know, like with all the beautiful kites that Heather was performing. And I remember that being like the first big outing with Leaf when he was like,
oh yeah, attending a funeral with a newborn.
Yeah.
It's like a test of courage for new parents, you know, because it's like you don't know how your kid's going to react because you just met them, you know?
I know.
But it's possible. And I would say if you're out there and you're thinking about if you're a new parent, or I'm sure a lot of parents can relate to this, like having like a newborn and bring in someplace, unless there's some kind of medical issue, it can be super duper easy and simple, and it can be done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did
just
it.
Just do it. Just go for it.
We did
get
it.
Out there.
Yeah.
We took our baby to Finland.
We did.
Yeah.
How well, old he was wasn't he? A baby then. He was about a year.
That's a baby.
He was walking though. I wasn't pregnant with Finn yet. Mm-hmm. So he must have been just under a year and a half. Yeah. I don't remember when Andrew and Nina got married, like what month it was, but it was nice in Finland. I remember that was warm weather.
Well, it was during the dark time of the, or no, excuse me, it was during the light time of the year, because in the middle of the night, because our oldest kid never adjusted to the time zone difference. You'd have him like up in the middle of the nights, and you don't see the sun, but everything's lit. It's like twilight all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
Well, yeah. In the middle of the night, it was twilight.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Ugh, that was tough. I was just walking around the house that your parents had rented. Mm-hmm. Walking around the house. Like, no, literally outside of the house because everyone was asleep, and I felt bad because the whole family had traveled to Finland for this wedding. And so your whole family was in the house and everyone was sleeping. We were the only ones who had brought kids. And...
yeah,
we just had our one kid at that point leave, and he was just on a different time zone, and so then once he was awake, he was like, "I'm awake," and I was so tired.
It was like a regular day for him.
And I just kept walking around the house and like picking him up and singing to him and holding him, and oh my god, I sang every single song I possibly could sing.
You're a trooper, man.
Yeah. And we were cloth diapering in Finland.
Yep.
That was crazy.
I think I remember like what when you
we had, packed you had the diapers in the car seat. Remember? Because we had a rental car. Mm-hmm. So we said, well, we have to bring the car seat.
Right.
It was a lot. It was a lot to do. But we did it. But I don't know that I would have done it with two kids like that, like the same way. I think we would have found workarounds.
Well, funny you should mention that, because we kind of did that when we went to Thailand, but they were older.
They were older, so we didn't have car seats.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were kind of whatever about more things.
Well, they were older. They were older, and we were sitting with them.
But we mm-hmm. definitely had the same problems where I had our youngest one. I was like at 3 in the morning walking down the street in downtown Bangkok. Just like walking him around. What?
I don't remember that.
Oh man, it's like one of the one
was
of the
Leaf and I asleep.
Vivid memory. Oh yes, he was up and I was up, and he started making noise because he wants to play. So he's like, "All right, come here." No, so we walked around for a while, and I kept thinking like, "Oh my god, you know, I'm a white tourist in this very crowded city in downtown Bangkok, where you know you read all these stories and they're like, hey, make sure you don't get taken advantage of and stuff like that. But like everyone that I met when we were walking around in the middle of the night, middle of the night.
Do you think they had any idea what was happening? They must have.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and it was all men. It was all men hanging out, drinking, or just hanging out in the middle of the night on the sidewalk.
I don't think you told me that you did this.
And I didn't, I spoke like five important phrases in Thai, right? But no words needed to be exchanged, because every time I came across like a bunch of dudes hanging out, and they're all middle-aged men, oh, they'd all laugh so hard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I start coming, and they all like point like, oh, 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 ha, 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 ha. Oh, they thought it was so funny. Yeah, they would hang out outside of the, outside of the Family Mart, the convenience store, you know, or they're drinking beers, they're probably going to be cooking very soon because like breakfast on the sidewalk is like such a huge part of food culture over there. Yeah, so nobody gave me any trouble, but I did make a lot of people smile. You know, and I'm like destroyed. I'm just like, ugh, you know, just super tired. And he's awake and smiling, looking around.
Probably
and,
speaking Thai because you had taught him like two phrases.
The 24-hour pink temple across the street. Like there's monks banging stuff over there, you know. And
I did not remember this happening.
I mean, I tried to spare you from that, you know, because I was kind of up anyway. Okay. So it's like, all right, let's just go.
Wow. Well, now we're even. Finland versus Thailand. Yeah. The midnight walks.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, it was crazy.
Yep.
Well, someday when all this craziness is over, we'll be able to go on some trips again, which will be really fun.
I'm so looking forward to it. I'm making an itinerary right now of all the places I want to visit.
Well, I hope you're including me in that itinerary.
Yeah, of course, dude.
Because I want to be able to have some say.
Step one is to make a puppet show. Not to make a puppet show. Step one is to sell a puppet show to a puppet theater that will bring us over to perform.
See, I think you have it mixed up, honey. You got to make the show first and then sell
the
show.
No, we got plenty. Dude.
He does this all the time. What? He's always selling a show that doesn't exist and then we have to make the show.
No. All right, so... gone are the days where I thought you had to have a nonverbal show to tour internationally. No way. Mm-hmm. No way, dude. I have performed shows in full English for kids in two different Asian countries, and it was totally fine.
Okay.
Totally fine. I'm not saying it's like that everywhere, but I feel emboldened by those experiences to be like, whatever. We've watched shows in other languages where I didn't understand anything they were saying, and I still got it, and our kids still got it, and it felt very international to be watching a show in a different language.
It did feel very international.
And overseas, you know, you're trying to teach your kids English, right? So take your kids to the American doing a show in English, right? Right? I don't know. So step one is getting a theater overseas interested in us, right? Outside of our context, because I would love to go back to Taiwan to Lietze, and to the puppet arts colony there, and just hang out with all my friends. You know, from it's been 3 years actually.
Wow!
I just, a Facebook memory popped up. 3 years ago, I was performing with a bunch of dancers in a puppet show in Taiwan, and then hauling over to flying over to Tokyo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was home with the children.
Yes.
But it was Halloween time and we didn't want to miss Halloween. You only get so many. So, you know, as kids. And so we did Halloween and stuff and it was super fun and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So once we can get going, I feel like I work best in deadlines and when you know, you're working towards a goal because somebody has already booked you.
Yeah.
Then it has to happen.
Right.
Then you make it happen. So
right.
I feel like that's step one is like get your foot in the door somewhere and then your family, you know, will come along and we'll pay for everybody to come. We'll figure it out.
Well, I also just want to like go exploring in this country too. There's so many cool things to see here as well. So I just want to explore more.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. But you know, right now we're just trying to get through day by day. You know, we've been saying this lately in the podcast, but if you're having a hard time, if you're feeling like you just haven't felt like yourself in a long time and maybe things are a little dark in your world, might be a good time to find somebody to talk to, you know? It's important to make sure that you're okay up here as well as okay here, you know? And I'm pointing my head for those of you guys listening. I'm not doing a good job with the audio podcast today, but, you know, just take care of ourselves both mentally and physically. And I just had some people pass away in the last couple weeks, a couple people who were within my circle, and you know, they took their life, and it's a really sad thing. And I know that things are really difficult right now. So if you are feeling a little blue or just feeling like you're just not totally yourself, you know, reach out, find somebody to talk to.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm like planning for the future, mm-hmm. you know, and thinking about what I want to do mm-hmm. in 2 years and 3 years when we're back on our feet. You know, I can't go to Thailand right now, you know, but if we do well enough, if we work really, really hard, like we always do,
yeah,
reestablish ourselves once we get our shot in the arm, we go back in the city and grasp for a little bit of what we had, you know, then we can go international again. Because mm-hmm. it's so fun, you know, and it's been a wild, amazing ride, 10 years, you know?
Yeah, yep. I know, we've done a lot.
Would you have ever thought that when we were doing our first shows in the basement of that temple in Park Slope, with the puppets that you had just hot glued together, that we would be performing at international festivals someday?
Well, I don't know, I haven't performed at an international festival yet. So
okay,
you have.
It's a little different.
But I've gotten to do other things professionally that were really important to me.
Right.
So, I don't know. I have goals, but then I don't track how I got there as much. I just keep trying to do things that will keep momentum going. Momentum is really important to me. And if I feel like I'm invested in something, then I can like mentally invested, then I can find the time sometimes when I don't even feel like I have the time to get things done. Like I got that puppet done, and now I'm working on finishing the second puppet. I think after this, but I think I wanted to have like a private build of my own that I didn't share. And then the next thing, whatever that's going to be that I build, I'll share that journey. But I just didn't feel like sharing this building journey for whatever reason. I think I just wanted to zone out and like watch some trashy television while I built mm-hmm. And just hibernate. Like I have been connecting with some people, but there's so many people that I want to connect with. And then I get overwhelmed by it. So then I don't connect with, many people.
I hear you.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm doing okay. It's,
how's
I don't
your,
even know what I'm talking about now. Sorry.
I feel like my social media feed has been like the Hunger Games lately, or the Running Man, or whatever, however you want to go.
Oh. Are you stuck in a cornucopia and people are attacking you?
No.
Oh.
No. I'm not the contestant on the Hunger Games. No, that's all my social media friends are the contestants in the Hunger Games.
Are you a spectator?
I am the evil Emperor Snow or President Snow or whatever that's going, mwahaha, gone, meh,
mute, unfriended,
remove,
oh,
unfriend,
block. Oh, no.
And one by one, I'm like pruning, not like... you don't even need to unfriend nowadays. It's 2020. You don't unfriend anymore. All you do is like and engage with the posts of the people that you do want to be a part of, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Because and Facebook will do all the rest of the work for you, you know? And so I feel like currently, because it goes in like 2 week trends, mm-hmm. Unless you're liking somebody's feed every single day, there's like 5 to 6 people. And that's all I get, mostly. Like, but it's kind of been like, you know, this election season has brought out the worst in a lot of people, and the craziness in a lot of people, and has really kind of unmasked a lot of people in terms of like how you really feel about really important issues. Lines have been drawn in the sand, and I want to be surrounded by people whose opinions I like and I appreciate, and I want to hear their voices. I want to hear from them. So. Yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I'm like, oh man, here's the same 5 people again. Great, I love that. I don't want, and a couple of them I don't even know personally. I feel like a lot of people in my Facebook feed, it's like that. It's like I don't know who you are, but if I get to the thing where it says so and so, you know, wants to be your friend or whatnot, at like every few months, I will go back in and be like, okay, why not? You know, we'll see. We'll give them like probationary period. And then, because if you say yes to friending somebody on your social media feed, you'll get them, their posts will pop up immediately and you'll say like,
I don't accept friend requests very often. I actually have to know the person.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Oh, good.
Like it's rare that I'm friends with somebody that I haven't met in real life. That's just like a rule that I had early on and have tried to stick with. I don't always stick with it, but for the most part I have. But you know, it's, I don't know. I have a very difficult relationship with Facebook sometimes. I appreciate it because I've been able to stay in touch with people in a way that I wouldn't have ever been able to stay in touch with. But then there's always these like weird situational life moments that I have to like reason out in my brain that I just feel like if Facebook wasn't in my life, I wouldn't even have to think about this right now. Mm. You know, like, do I really wanna, oh look, this Facebook is recommending that I friend this person who I was not friends with in high school.
Ooh.
Well, should I? No, I'm not going to ask to friend them, right? I shouldn't ask to friend them. Oh, look, they're friends with all of these mutual people. Well, maybe I could just look and see what they look like right now. Oh, man, I can't see what they look like because of their settings. Well, ooh, then the only way I can see what they look like is by adding them as a friend. Oh, you know, but did I really even want them as a friend? We're not even friends. Why am I even having this discussion? Like, this is the loop. Yeah. And then the other thing, too, is that sometimes people will post something and I'm like a lazy browser, so I often don't like things. But then I feel badly that I didn't like it because it's like your cute kid or your cute pet or you're trying to put something good out in the world. So then I scroll back up after telling myself that I'm not a good person and I'll heart because then I'm like, who are you? Are you a troll? Like, you have to like go through and like people's things and like let them feel like that little shot of endorphin happiness that somebody saw and liked. Oh, it.
I gotta say I've moved beyond liking cute babies.
No, but then I feel guilty for not liking it.
Well,
what I'm saying. So, I will not like it, and then I'll be like, oh, what am I doing? I can't not like that. That's somebody's cute baby.
So let me, all right, so let me ask you this question. So, Z, when you get over 5 likes on a post, because maybe this could not be true if you get like 2 likes on a post, you can click on it, see who liked it. If you get like more than 10 likes on a post, do you know or care who liked your post?
Yes.
You go through no matter what and look at all the likes. Okay, never mind.
Because I do.
That's totally different than me.
I'm horrible. I care too much.
Oh, man.
I care way too much.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You know what? I just blame it on the performer gene in me. Like, I want you to like me. Like, that is, and when you like my post, then it's like, you like me. It's stupid. I mean, like, that, like, it's.
See, I'm just trying to game the system at this point.
Ridiculous. Also, I need to use it for work. So I've considered taking Facebook breaks, but then I actually can't because a lot of the time for my other job, I have to be constantly looking out to see like who's performing stuff and then reminding them to submit to this newsletter that I have to put together for my job. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I find out about stuff through Facebook. So then it's like, oh, it's like a tool, but then it's a rabbit hole and then it's like a social quandary and then I beat myself up about it. So I don't know. People.
So if you're listening,
do you relate to any of this, or am I crazy?
No. I just had a thought that you know, we're always talking about like, are our kids gonna listen to this someday?
Oh,
and
I'm
always like, nah, I don't think so. But if they were, it would be in the future when none of this makes any sense.
None of it exists anymore.
Right? And it sounds like old people yapping their gums about like, oh, back in the day, you could like a social media post. Woo! Ooh. And they're like, okay, time for a nap, Grandma.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
We'll
see. So it's weird, current, modern.
But we don't even let our kids watch YouTube. So I think, yeah. I feel like we're...
They had it on for the first... when Sarah and Jared were here, they had YouTube going on in the Roku box downstairs.
Uh-oh.
And it was whatever I think it was just like, it was just like constantly rolling on to the next video.
Oh boy.
But it were like videos that like that tweens are into. So it was like silly random videos, like, you know, cartoony videos, a million music videos for this game that's really popular at the moment called Among Us, and things, and like Disney musical numbers and stuff like that. But it was just like rolling on to the next one. Yeah, there's no way that we want to have them get anywhere near YouTube.
Well, I just feel like I curate their in kids when you're watching this in 20 years. I curated your intake of content quite a bit.
You're a responsible parent.
You know what? Talking about parenting. So, on Fridays, we have a new tradition of going to the library, and also while being at the library and getting our books for the week, we have let the kids pick out a movie, whosever movie night it is. This week it was Leaf, the 7-year-old. It was his movie night, and he picked out Ninjago, Lego Ninjago, and I've never seen that series. It's really well done.
Yes.
But I will tell you that I was definitely having some moments as the mom in it, in this moment. Mm-hmm. Feeling like, oh no, because there was gun violence guns in the Lego Ninjago thing, and I was like, oh man. Well, it was intense. It was like a cartoon version of an action movie, the type of thing that like your dad would watch, but it was cartoonified and Legoed, and I was like, this is really well done and it's really cool. But it's a little more violent than what I'm used to us watching.
Violent, though? I feel like it was like kids' cartoon violence.
I don't know.
Where they like spin around and bump into the bad guys, and the bad guys say, arg, and fall over.
There were definitely laser guns.
Yes.
And I was like...
They're weapons.
Huh. Because I'm just not used to watching that kind of stuff with them.
Oh, right.
And...
So it's not Daniel Tiger.
No.
No, they have nunchucks and swords and...
Yes. Yes. And I don't know. It was just more intense than what I'm used to watching with them. And they loved it, you know. But I was still like feeling like, oh, if I had known that this was going to be like that, I don't know that I would have... But you know what? It's okay because he picked it. Like, this is what he picked, and it was in the kids section, and that's okay. But Finn's watching it. Finn's 5. He's in kindergarten. Like, I never would have, like, you know, anyway, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's fine.
Wait a second. Let's put this into context. So there's laser guns in the show. There's, like, battles. There's action. There's snarkiness. But you allowed them to watch Bambi, so I feel like all bets are off, because Bambi... Not only are named characters who, like, the scene with the birds. Not just that Bambi's mother dies, right? Gets murdered and probably eaten. But the scene with the birds where they're waiting for the hunters to come kill them, and one of them freaks out and causes all of them, or at least that one character, to get shot in front of us on screen. It's intense.
It is.
It's more intense than laser guns.
Oh, it's different. It's different. And before Bambi started, we had a whole talk with them about Bambi, because that was also a Leaf pick, by the way.
Yes.
And said, you know, there's some sad parts in the movie. It's kind of intense. And they were like, it's all good. So if I had known that it was like action, I don't know, I probably would have said something to them about it ahead of time. But I didn't know, because I'm just not in the loop of Lego Ninjago. But it was super well done, and I enjoyed it, what we saw. And anyway, it was just like, you know, leveling up of media viewing with my kids a little bit, you know. But it's cool. Like, I'm happy that they want to watch anything that has more, a little more substance to it, and like some plot stuff. So that's good.
Oh, definitely a serial like Ninjago.
We've just been watching a lot of Pokemon lately, you know, and not other things. Pokemon. So, I mean, but
Pokemon
it's
is
so
the worst.
Different. It's just so different.
Yeah.
So
no, this is a serial that like runs in like, you know, one right after another. Pokemon's kind of like that, but Pokemon's always been trash. Like the Pokemon the Pokemon cartoon is formulaic, and. Mm-hmm. It is so about selling toys and so about like getting you into the branded universe. Ninjago, like, it's also about that, but it's about like telling a story first. It's not about like, let's talk about this one toy that you can get today,
one character. I mean, that's why I was thinking like, wow, this is like introducing like episodic serials to kids, you know, because it wasn't like its own episode in a sense. It was just like this ongoing saga.
Yeah, like seasonal storytelling. Yeah. Which is like what adults watch.
Right. And I remember there was only a couple of shows on TV for kids that was like that. And I loved them because it just felt like so much more in depth and cool. Yeah. So I was having all of these thoughts while we were watching that.
While the laser guns.
Yes. Like, all of it. All of the thoughts. So it was just interesting parenting moment of like leveling up with media watching with my kids.
What do you think they're gonna watch next week?
Well, it's Finn, so I don't know. I don't know that
Fern grows.
Red fern. Red fern grows.
Oh
man!
Oh, where the wild fern grows.
That's a different.
It's like
show.
Max. One of the monsters gets rabid, and Max has to put it down.
What?
He's like, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's like, it's gnashing its terrible teeth at him.
It is so sad. Why do people make us read those sad books? They are so sad.
Why do people always recommend things, looking at you, written in the last century?
Some of them are good. We've quite enjoyed some things. Terrible. Listen.
All bad.
We just read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and it was quite good for a number of reasons. There were lessons learned.
I can think of a number of reasons that is terrible.
I'm telling you that there were some lessons learned from those books.
Like what?
For a certain someone.
Like, the only way to beat the evil character is to allow yourself to be murdered?
No, no. It's that, listen, we're working on, in our home, we're working on empathy a lot with one of our kids. And, Edmund is a jerk at the beginning of the book. He's unkind to his brother and sisters, and he doesn't really think about how his choices make other people feel. And then there's a moment further on where, you know, he's basically been a traitor to his family and everybody in Narnia who's been nice to him, and sides with the White Witch. And then he has a moment where he kind of starts to see how horrible she is, because she turns the squirrel picnic to stone and everybody to stone in front of him. And he suddenly realizes that he has started to care about someone other than himself for the very first time. Uh-huh. And so we talked about that a lot. And that was a big deal. And that is actually one of the reasons that we read that book, because I wanted to be able to have that learning moment within the book and to be able to talk about it in a bigger way. So to me, the book for us wasn't necessarily about Aslan. It was about Edmund and his journey, Edmund's journey.
Well, let me tell you, there is a kid's cartoon show right now that teaches that every single episode. It's called PJ Masks. And it's basically about like how one of the three interchangeable characters has some kind of issue where they put themselves first, or they act selfishly, or they mess up in some way, and they don't listen to their friends until 2/3 of the way through an episode. It's formulaic, and then they realize, and then they apologize to everyone, and then they actually make it right. Unlike Edmund, who does nothing.
Listen, it felt more real. Yeah. There was something about this because it was so devious, but it was very. There was like a big reckoning moment, and it was good. It was a good situation, like book wise. So because if we try to do anything that seems like it's actually in line with like learning about your feelings, like the Feeling Ninja book or whatever, like, you know,
I'd take that book any day. Great.
No.
Does he throw like hearts, like,
you know what happens?
Like, I care.
My kid would take that book and throw it.
What?
Yes.
No, that's not true.
He does not like those kinds of books.
What about feelings?
Anything that seems like it's talking to him in a pedantic way, where it's like, you're telling me to breathe, deal with my emotions, feelings, self-regulation. I know what you're doing, and I am not going to have any of it. But this one, this felt more real.
Well, this felt like, because it's not, because secretly it's not for kids, secretly, not so secretly, because it's like fantasy horror, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, in a lot of ways. That's why it feels real, because it's more adult than something that's actually for his age range. But yeah, if you're out there and you're writing books or making puppet shows or whatever, no, you can't talk down to kids. You can't have the moral be at the center of it, unless you're doing it for pre-K and under, and that's where it needs to be, is like at the center, right?
Yeah, I'm just talking about my kid. Like, my kid is, like, you know, everybody's kid's different, and yeah. I've tried a lot of things, and this was one thing that worked. It worked, and so okay. I'm happy about it.
I will always dislike those series.
I just wanted C.S. to read that Lewis, one book.
Not my fave.
Just that one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like all different kinds of books. Sometimes the older books are nice, sometimes the newer books are nice. It just depends on, like, you know, what it is, what it's about. We had a really good time reading The Secret of Nim, Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of Nim.
Right.
That was a really good book. We've read some really good ones.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You ready?
I don't know. I have to make dinner tonight. Yeah. Tonight's my dinner night.
That's what I mean. Like, are you ready to go back?
I mean, yeah. But it's nice to do this every week. So,
yeah.
It's nice to check in. This is our little time capsule of our time during this time. So, thank you for spending your time listening to us talk about our time.
Yay. That's right. And the internet is forever. Unless you do podcasts and need to host your file someplace, and then it's not forever.
Well,
the internet is only forever if you are a meme, or if you have carefully curated content that you're constantly pushing to new platforms. Does that make sense?
I guess, but I still feel like the internet's forever. So we appreciate you so much listening and being a part of our weekly check-ins. And, you know, if you haven't said hi yet, you can do so even after we're done here. You can say a little hi in the comments. We love hearing from you. And we hope that you have a really great week. Okay? Take care of each other.
Bye.
Bye.